A new book titled The Last Negroes at Harvard chronicles the lives of 18 African Americans who were part of Harvard University's class of 1963. Kent Garrett, the book's co-author, was one of them. WBGO's John Kalish caught up with Garrett and one of his classmates from Harvard.
Kent Garrett grew up in New York City. His father was a subway motorman who worked a second job for 21 years waxing floors. Kent Garrett Sr. is now 97, and he still remembers when his son was admitted to Harvard.
We were just elated and really proud, I tell you. I invited everybody over for dinner.
In the fall of 1959, Kent Garrett traveled by car to Harvard, but he didn't go alone. His parents, his kid sister, a couple of aunts, and an uncle filled two cars and came with him.
It was a little bit embarrassing in a way, at everybody wanting to come up there.
Over the years, African Americans have endured some serious indignities at Harvard. In the late 19th century, W.E.B. Du Bois, the college's most famous black alumnus, wasn't allowed to live on campus. In 1952, a cross was burned outside a dormitory housing 11 black students. During Kent Garrett's time at Harvard, his greatest personal stress came his freshman year. It was a job cleaning the dorms.
Given my background and where I'd come from psychologically, it was like the worst job I could ever have because I'd been with my dad floor waxing in rich white people's houses all those years growing up. And here I was again at Harvard, you know, doing Negro sort of work.
Back then, freshmen at Harvard were required to wear a tie and jacket to meals. Garrett sat at the black table, which he describes as a needed refuge from white people. Keep in mind, there were 18 black students in a class of more than 1,000.
It got very tiring in the sense that we were curiosities. And there was the inevitable questions. One, what is it like to be a Negro? The second question is, what do you people want? And after you hear that question every day for X number of days, it gets tiring. And it wasn't like they were racist or anything. It was just that they were curious.
Garrett's roommate at Harvard believed that African Americans should move to Africa and did just that after earning an MBA at Harvard. Garrett's book recounts the time Malcolm X came to dinner at the residence Garrett shared with other students. Garrett says that listening to Malcolm X preach racial separation to a rapt group of students changed his life.
As the civil rights movement moved along and Malcolm X came on the scene, I mean, my thinking really started moving towards more black power, realizing that this integration thing is probably not going to work.
Garrett shared a suite with the sons of some of the wealthiest white men in America, including David Rockefeller Jr. and the heir to the Borden milk fortune. He became close friends with Fred Easter, who he refers to in his book as a Harlem wise guy. Easter is now retired and lives in Minnesota. He recalls an encounter with one of his white friends in the dining hall.
There were peas on my plate that I hadn't eaten. He said, "Are you going to eat them?" And I said, "No." And I was going to shovel them off onto his plate. He said, "No, don't worry. I'll just get them." And he ate off my plate, which was astonishing to me. It spoke to his comfort level, which was a comfort level that was not widely held by white people in the United States in 1959.
After graduating, Kent Garrett worked in advertising, but in 1968, he got a job on a new public television show called Black Journal. It was the first national program to focus exclusively on the concerns of African Americans. He traveled to Vietnam to produce a piece about black GIs and went to Los Angeles for a segment on black police officers.
The black cop is the man in the middle. He seeks acceptance in the police community, which reflects the white society and the status quo. On the other hand, he's a black man from a black community, which is demanding change.
At Black Journal, Garrett and other black producers insisted that a black executive producer be hired. It was a demand that was met. That willingness to demand a redress of grievance is something he learned from his father, who won a better-paying job as an electrician at the Brooklyn Navy Yard during World War II by going over the head of his immediate supervisor.
If someone tells you no, if it's something you want, Don't give up, because somebody higher than that person that is sitting there. And never take no for an answer.
Kent Garrett spent 20 years as a producer at CBS and then NBC, but he became disillusioned with his big city life and moved to the Catskills to become a dairy farmer. He writes in his book that he still doesn't contribute money to Harvard and didn't go to a class reunion until 2018. His friend Fred Easter has been to several reunions, including his 50th, which took place during the graduation ceremonies for the class of 2013.
There were knots of black students, and one guy called out, "Look at those guys, that's 50 years. One guy said, "We know what you went through. Thank you," he said, "thank you."
Kent Garrett retired from dairy farming and now lives with a retired college professor named Gene Ellsworth, who co-authored The Last Negroes at Harvard. A year ago, the couple moved to a small Catskills town where Garrett hosts a morning show on a small community radio station. For the WBGO Journal, I'm John Kalish.